Hey, good morning, Solomon's Porch. My name is Ian. I'll be giving the message today. The chapter we'll be starting off with will be Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we come together in the morning just to praise your name and just to lift you up, Lord. Lord, we come to you needing you, yearning for you, and seeking your peace, your shalom, your completeness, your wholeness, Lord. Lord, when you give us your word this morning, just at your word, Lord, may our spirits be lifted up, Lord. May our hearts be content, Lord. And may we feed off your word as well, Lord. Lord, we bless your name. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, it's coming to Christmas, and I think we hear a lot of Advent devotionals. We see a lot of them pop up in our apps, and I think it's a festive time. It's a really happy time as well. The nativity stories and just the air of Christmas, people rejoicing, people having more hope. And it's a great thing. I stumbled across. I was reading Matthew yesterday, just the beginning of it, and I stumbled across this verse in Matthew 2, verses 16 to 18, which is about the massacre of the innocent children by King Herod at the time. And it starts like this. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." And such a sad verse in the middle of what we typically see as a celebration, a time of festivities. And it is, on one hand, it is a time of great celebration. And on the other hand, this verse just struck me and made me realize that behind the story of Christmas, of joy, of peace, of hope, is also a story of great sacrifice. We focus a lot on the sacrifice of Jesus, and rightly so. I think that there's also been a huge sacrifice. If we look back at history, to the coming of Jesus, sacrifice of many other people. And I think this verse today shows us that there were sacrifices made, as a result, or the coming of Jesus. Now, of course, these sacrifices were not caused by God. It was caused by King Herod at the time. And the point being that it's a time of reflection for us as Christians. And the difference, I guess, for us and the secular world is we solemnly also remind ourselves that besides the sacrifice of Jesus, there's also been a foundation upon which the gospel was built by other prophets who sacrificed their life, by the disciples of Jesus who had to sacrifice their life in order for us to hear this important message. And so in this time, I feel the need to also be grateful, to solemnly remember the importance and the preciousness of the gospel. That when Jesus came in, he came in to a time where there was great conflict. He came into a time when there was massacre of innocent children. And he came into a time when the world did not receive him and the king wanted to kill him. The King Herod, in some ways, also shows us the reflection of the true ugliness of human nature. right? If you recall, King Herod at the time, he wanted to basically find out. He was petrified that this so-called king was born and would essentially tumble his kingdom, and he wanted to kill the so-called prophesied king before the child could grow up. He thought, this way I can defeat the plans of God, right? And so he even tried to disguise his plans by saying to, then the wise men who came to ask the king where this child was born. He said, let me know as well. Let me the Magi, right? He was saying to the Magi, let me know where this child is. I want to go and worship this king as well. And obviously that was full of deceit. The what he was saying wasn't what he really meant. He really meant, let me go and find this child and kill this child. And so very quickly, when he realized that he was deceived, he made a decree that all the children born around that time in Bethlehem were to die. Being a parent myself, I think, in fact, I can't even think how exceedingly terrifying that is, and how sad that is to see your own child be slaughtered in front of you. That is exactly the graphic truth of what happened during that time as well. And this ugliness in King Herod is also sometimes reflected in our own nature, if we're honest. I think that his fear of someone taking his place, his fear, his need for self-preservation is also something that we struggle with, perhaps on a much different level. But it is essentially of the same spirit. It's of the same evil spirit, where the need for self-preservation, the need to be king, the need to be God, even, that we can somehow thwart the plans of God. And we do it to a much lesser extent. I think we do it to a much lesser extent in a way which is sometimes quite subtle, and we don't realize ourselves. But I think it's precisely verses like this in the Bible that just kind of make us stop, think, and reflect. And during this time in leading up to Christmas, first of all, what it meant for Jesus to come, the sacrifice that needed to happen even before he came into his full ministry. And the reason why Jesus had to come. I think the sinfulness of this whole situation, the corruptness of this whole situation, is something that we still see today. And we often point the finger at other people being the perpetrators of this terrible sins that we see in society. But I think we also should look at ourselves and see and realize and recognize our own sins, the ones that we continue to do, perhaps we still struggle with, but something which we also can bring to Jesus at this time. In the midst of our celebration, in the midst of all the festivities, there is a great joy that we can have, a true joy, where we know that Jesus, our Savior, has come to forgive us, but also has come to say, bring your ugliness, bring your weaknesses, bring all the things that you are struggling with, in the same way King Herod was, but bring it to the feet of Jesus. We often bring our requests to Jesus, our needs and our wants. But the sanctification process for the Christian is a sanctification process. It only starts to begin after we start to believe in Jesus. And our prayer should really be that the Holy Spirit reveal in us any wrong way within our hearts, in us, in the way we walk, and that we have to bring it to the feet of Jesus. As we come to an end of the year, many of us make lists of things that we want to change for next year. And, perhaps some of us used to get off to a good start, January and February, especially with the fast that we have at Solomon's Porch. And I think making lists to improve for the next year is a great thing because it forces us to reflect how we want to live our lives better. But often, when we use our brute strength, depend and rely on our own skills and discipline, it leads to disappointment. Because our spirits are willing and our flesh is weak, as the Bible says. What we need to rely on is really God's power working in us. The power that could only be available to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So, yes, as we come and welcome and celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas, let us also have this solemn reflection on our lives, but also have this hope that we can rely on the Holy Spirit that has been given to us because of Jesus, and that Holy Spirit will be the one to strengthen us and be the one to sanctify us. We work together with the Holy Spirit, not with our own flesh, but in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to overcome our temptations, our sinfulness, everything that we see that is ugly in us that the Holy Spirit reveals for us. It's actually such a beautiful picture that God continues to sift out these impurities in us, preparing us also for the heavenly place that we will be with Him one day. So there's so much to reflect during this time. And our prayer is that we can use even this morning just to have a moment, maybe just 1 minute, to think, to pray, to praise, and to seek God this morning as we come together. So let me close here and just give us a moment to pray. I'll lead us in prayer as I close. Father God, Lord, we are sometimes at a loss of words, what to say and what to pray. It's easy to get caught up in this time of Christmas. But Lord, help us to stay grounded and help us to bring to mind and bring to heart the importance and the significance of Jesus, the sacrifice that had to be made, Lord, and continue to burn in us this passion for sanctification. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be with us, speak to us, Lord, and transform us into the image of your Son. I just ask Sterling to come and also lead us in worship.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise.
Thank you so much, Sterling. Let's just end in prayer as well. Father God, Lord, as we sing in this verse and these songs, Lord, Lord, have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us as we give you ourselves, every part of ourselves, Lord. Help us, Lord, also to give that and to do that on a daily basis, Lord, and to surrender these things to you. Ourselves, our sanctification, our worries, our hopes, our ugliness, our sinfulness, Lord. Lord, thank you for Jesus, Lord. When we acknowledge and remember the sacrifices that had to be made in order for Jesus, to come, Lord, as a result of Jesus, Lord, and the sacrifices that continue to be made as well today, by brothers and sisters, by people who continue to carry this gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's move to our community prayer. Let's pray for those of us suffering from cancer. We pray for healing. We pray for just the continued love and grace and support over their family as well. Let's also pray for those of us suffering from illnesses, but also in need of salvation, in need of hearing the gospel and receiving it. Let's also remember that those of us suffering from various types of infirmities, let's pray for healing. And let's pray for Grace, who's I think may still be suffering from COVID. Also remember our frontline medical workers, Abby, Amy, Christy, Eugenia, Jackie, Jade, Janet, JJ, Jasmine, Lawrence, Lynn, Peter, and Vanessa. Let's pray for them and for protection, but also for God's healing hand to move from them. Let's also pray for those of us looking for jobs for Catherine and James. Also, let's move to our mission focus, praying for Cambodia, Oasis House. North Korea, open doors for ministry. Pray for opportunities as well and for partnerships in Asia and persecuted churches in the Middle East and for outreaches and all the meetings there. Also pray for the SB weekend gatherings and all the activities. So Sunday service, well, SB Kids, worship, hospitality, SB Youth, spin and spill services, all the other classes and meetings. Also, let's pray for those of us who are pregnant. Pray for protection, love, and care over the family, over the mummies and the babies. Lastly, let's also pray for the house churches that are meeting this weekend for Bowen, Hollywood, Mauan, and Southside. Well, thank you for joining. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a great weekend ahead. See you, everyone.